Standing for the reading of the word, as we honor and we respect God's reading of God's word, the most powerful word we have from the Lord. Book of Acts, there are some Bibles in front of you, behind you. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, the book of Acts chapter 3. I want to read one verse. I believe that God brought you here this morning to hear this word. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Heaven must receive or retain. Acts chapter 3. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Verse 21. Heaven must receive or retain until the times of restoration of all things. Everyone here this morning say all things.
All things.
Please, one more time.
All things.
Acts 3:21 says, heaven must receive or retain until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his prophets since the world has begun. Almighty God, that is the reading of your word. May that word restore all things, become so real and powerful in our lives today. Change us forever for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may take your seats. A couple of foundations to continue understanding what that means to us personally of restoring all things. God receives us right where we are. We don't have to make any changes. He accepts us right where we are. Then the journey of being more like Jesus begins. The goal really is just to be salt and light to the world. That's our goal. And when we get there, we walk in that purpose. When we begin to walk in that purpose, God continues to bring revelation to you, for you, and for his kingdom. Revelation is the key. I believe that the reason why God brought you here today is because we need to experience three revelations from God today. If you've been here all July, amen. If you haven't, amen. Just glad that you're here. We have slowly put together the understanding of what does it mean that God wants to restore all things through you, for you. For you and through you. Revelation is where God gives you a word to help you keep going. Because we get frustrated. We get tired. We took the wrong exit. We're not sure what's going on. I read something the other day that might help us understand what I just said. When you are going through hard times, and every Christian goes through hard times, either it's been created by you or others, But once you identify how it's been created, then you're able to go ahead and accept that that's where you are, and that's where God wants to begin the journey to help you get to the place that you and I will understand what it means to be restored by God with all things. You can go back to the three messages and really get a good definition of what it means to be restored. It's the biblical view. It's the spiritual view. It was before the foundation of the worlds that whatever was taken, whatever was lost, whatever was whatever took place where you've experienced a loss or frustration, God wants to restore. So when you're going through a hard time and you're wondering where God is, remember, you got to remember. This is what I love about the Spirit of God. He reminds us who's in control. He reminds us that Jesus is our Savior and that Jesus wants to be our Lord of our lives. Jesus being Savior of our life is one of the greatest things that you and I can do. We're all going to heaven. Thank God we're all going to heaven. Amen. Meanwhile, while we're living here on earth, he has to be Lord of our lives. And he reminds us that when you're going through hard times and you're wondering where God is, remember, the teacher is always quiet during the tests. Amen. And so as we begin the journey to understand revelation, because I believe that God wants to give you some revelations, and I'm hoping you plant good on good soil and watch it come to pass and see the blessings of God, see the power of God, see the authority of God, because again, I believe God's word. I believe that God don't lie. God's never lied. He's never late. He's always on time. If we trust him, good things can take place in our life. All things work out for the good. All things work out for the good. All things work out for the good. You haven't caught it yet. All things work out for the good. Amen. And so the revelation to become a visionary leader. Now, you can listen to George Lopez and say, "Que leader?" God has called you to be a leader. If it means just leading your own soul, that's a lot of work. Leading your home, that's a lot of work. Leading your marriage, that's a lot of work. Leading your community, that's a lot of work. Leading the ministry of God's a lot of work. You are a leader. But you got to be a visionary leader. A visionary leader is where you hear God give you a revelation that comes from heaven to transform you and those who are around you. This is why God is our author and finisher of our faith. God has invited us. Can I just say this? To settle some doctrinal theology that always creeping around everywhere. This is real simple. God loved you first. That's it. God loved you first. He came after you. You're not here by accident, and God's not doing all this just to do it because he has nothing else to do. There is a purpose and a reason for your existence. Let's settle that right now. Oh, I'm after God. No. God's after you. And if you got some people praying for you, all you're going to do is run into God. Amen? So God is the author and finisher of our faith. He's invited us to be partners to fulfill the purpose here on earth. God is the architect. He's already got a plan for you. You know what he does with your plans? He laughs. Oh, boy, they got something coming. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. I guess one more time won't hurt. I had a list of 1 to 10 what I want to be in life, and what I'm doing right now behind this pulpit was not on that list. Amen? Okay. You have that. And so, to begin the journey, or again, to begin to see the big picture of being restored of all things, I'm hoping that you have. If you have not, I want to encourage you to do it. What I want to do is I want to take the book of Genesis. I'm not going to read it to you. You're going to read it. All I'm going to do is condense it to help us understand what Peter said to the church and what Peter is still saying to the church. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. Culture changes. People changes. Country changes. This is why I believe that if you understand that you're the salt and the light of this country, it is the body of Christ that's going to change this country. There's not a human being, there's not a human committee, there's not a human standard that can do this but God. So, if I may say it like this, the pressure's on. And the reason why I say that is because they're going to come after you next. They're going to want to close your church. They're going to close your Christian faith. They're going to want to challenge you. Right now, as I'm speaking, the hierarchies and the higher uppers are trying to put in their DSM-4. If you don't know what the DSM-4, it is the psychology Bible. Everything there is the diagnostic of people's challenges. And they want to put in there that if you believe that Jesus is Savior and Lord, and if you believe in the Bible, they're going to put on there that you've got some mentally challenges going on, and they got to put you on some medicine. I'm already crazy. It's been documented. So if I may take a few moments this morning, take Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and just condense it. You go home and you read it. I know I recommended the chapter 15. Since you're already halfway there, go through it. They say the 11 chapters of Genesis is almost 2,000 years. Once God lays a foundation, he never changes it. So if you want, this is it right here, because I'm going to just condense it, because I believe that to take care of the symptom issues in your life, you're going to have to take care of the root issues in your life. Because if all you do is take care of the symptom issues of your life, the root issues are still there, and they're going to keep growing back. So as a Christian, Jesus is our Savior. We've been forgiven. We've been washed by the blood, like we kind of worship God with today. And we've been cleansed, and we're brand new, and we're born again. We have a new birth. The old things have passed away. All things become new. Now, what's next? Getting the world out of you. And I just want to let you know, if you die or Jesus comes, you're going to be fighting that battle till those two things happen. You have a sin nature you have to live with. In other words, you got to live with yourself. So if you look in the mirror and you say, you're the problem. And so I kind of look away when I say, you're the problem. If I can teach you to die daily and let the Spirit of God lead you, it's amazing and powerful. So let me condense it one more time. These messages is not about getting rid of the symptom issues. This message is about getting rid of the root issues, which is the sin nature, off of our lives and let something beautiful grow in our lives. I taught this for 32 years. Drinking and drugging is not your problem. The problem is that you're powerless over your drinking and drugging. Drinking and drugging is only a symptom of your problem. It's not even your problem. What's the problem? You don't know how to drink normally because every time you drink, your life becomes a mess. And you got to be sick and tired of your life being a mess. If you're not sick and tired of your life, there's not going to be no changes. They paid me thousands of dollars to say that, and I say it free right here behind the pulpit. So all I want to do, because I want to have communion with you today, but somebody needs to hear this. When you're going through a hard time, you're not sure what's going on. Let me just tell you what's happening. What is happening is that God is wanting to restore you to all things. We get happy because we get restored in one area, but there's four areas that we still need restoration. But no, we're happy that this happened. When God says, I want to restore you to all things, he means every area that's not of God has to be replaced with the power of God. So when you're going through a hard time, you're wondering where God is, just remember, the teacher is always quiet during the test. Father God, this morning, as we move into the place how and why restoration had to take place in the beginning, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, Lord, you kind of pretty much laid the foundation for the next 10,000 years. We're almost at the end of the 10,000 years, God. The songs today, they were ordained by you. You wanting us to be salt and light to a broken world because we come from that broken world. And we begin to be taught by your Spirit to be watchful and ready because we don't know when you're coming. And we also know there's a lot of work that needs to happen in this community that you love. You have us in this community to change this community. And I pray that we begin that journey today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. So in the beginning of the Bible's restoration theme is found in the beginning of all things. In the book of Genesis, God created man in his own image. You've heard this 1,000 times. God created man in his image, male and female. May I remind God's people this morning one very special thing. Whatever God ordains or whatever God's covenant is, always remember the enemy's job is to, again, basically come to try to duplicate the real thing, which there is what the Bible calls real clearly that thing called counterfeit. Counterfeit. The revelation that God wants to give you today has to do with knowing the real thing and the counterfeit. And how do you know the difference? Scientists have said, and other people have said, to know the difference, study the real thing. When you study the real thing, then you'll know what's counterfeit. So in the beginning, God created man in his own image, male and female. Man enjoyed the image of God. So the intimacy, the oneness with God, and the unbroken fellowship with God, however, Man chose to eat from the tree of good and evil. Simple, we know this, but we've forgotten it. Why am I believe we need to be reminded? Because God is saying to us that the pruning that I'm doing is so that we can produce more fruits. And the reason is because we're not going to look back. And every time my mind and my emotion and my flesh and the sinful nature wants me to look back, I'm reminded by the Spirit of God to keep looking forward. Anytime there's warfare, anytime there's war, anytime there's battle, anytime there's a fight, there's always casualties. So in doing so, he decided to take his life into his own hands. In other words, man said, I'm going to figure this thing out, because God says it is written. And the enemy says, is it really written? His job is to bring doubt to what he's already put before the foundation of the world. And Almighty God took prophets. And someone asked me the other day, does God still have prophets? And I said, yes, with a smile. They sit in the churches every morning. You may not have the title that you're a prophet, but a prophet that speaks the word of God and declares the word of God and speaks positive affirmation that God is on the throne and prayer still changes things. Tell me if that's not a prophet. Don't give me a title. The only title I like is Papa. I mount every way up and down when they say Papa. And when I'm mad at them, they just say Papa. It's like it's over in a second. I don't even know where that came from. So instead of living from the wisdom and the righteousness and the resources of God, he will now live his own limited resource, working things out himself. I'll figure this thing out. You know better than anyone. You and I are our righteous, our wisdom and our knowledge and our ways and our sinful nature is as filthy as what? Wow. If we can figure this thing out, we wouldn't need Jesus. If we didn't need Jesus to be Lord of our lives, we can rule ourselves. And I know what happens when Bobby Aragon gets in the way. Every morning, I got to look at this ugly face and go like this. Me, boy, you. Jesus, help me. I am where I'm at today because of the grace of God. So what church you belong to? You belong to that church called New Beginnings. Oh, those people, they need Jesus. Well, that's why they're in church. They need Jesus. That's an unhealthy church. Well, the Bible says that the reason why we come is because we're all sick. And Jesus is the only one that can get us well. And here's what I always say. If you knew me as good as I know myself, you'd never come hear me preach. But mira, hold on. I'm not George Lopez, but hold on. If I knew you like you know yourself, I wouldn't even let you in the door. All right, give me a few minutes, because I just want to help someone this morning. I am so glad you came. I love you. I missed you. I've always been part of your life. You've always been part of my life. There's some bunch of new faces that God wants to become part of the family here at New Beginnings, and I'm grateful for that. So with that tough decision, difficult decision, man lost the image of God. You've got to get this, because I'm going to give you those quick covenants, And remember, those covenants, the commandments from God, the enemy wants to counterfeit it. And the moment you don't let them, you win. You become an overcomer. And that is why it's important that we have, again, the scripture says we have this self-conscience. Man tried to work his own hands by covering his own stuff. Covering. That is so important that you understand why this is crucial, because what is the counterfeit but that the enemy wants to use? The real thing, God says, put on the whole armor of God. And so we put on the counterfeit covering over our lives, and it doesn't even come close. So that's your second revelation. Your second revelation is that the only thing that covers us is the blood of Jesus. The only thing that covers us is the grace of God. The only thing that covers us is forgiveness that comes from God. The only thing that covers us is that we have to be connected so that we can have roots, and so that we can produce, and so they'll know us by our fruits. So the counterfeit is that you can be covered by things that are outside for a temporary fix. What's your first revelation? You're the bride of Christ. See, you've missed that because I'm a struggling Christian, and I'm a frustrated Christian, and I'm a mad Christian, and I'm a defensive Christian, and I'm a hopeless Christian. And so we miss who we are in Christ. And so your first revelation is you're the bride of Christ. Second revelation is very clear that God has given you the armor to be covered by the things of God. And so that way restoration happens in order and in complete. That is Genesis 1, 2, and 3. This is Genesis 4 through 12. I'm not going to read it to you today, but I'm going to condense it. So all that has been happening all of this time since man fell, Jesus is going to restore us to all things, is that they kept just falling and falling and getting worse and getting worse. They hit rock bottom. Man has tried for a long time to fix themselves. And all Genesis 4 through 12 is telling us how bad it looks. Quickly. After they were barred from the garden and told them, you can eat of any tree except that one. Because we have that intuition and we have that marbao mentality. We like to be bad people, and we wanna test God. And the Bible says, do not test God. And we see that it says, look, man is self-centered. So disobedient rather than the image of God. From that point on, according to Genesis 4 through 12, man continued to fall and fall until he had destroyed the world by water. I want to give you your third revelation this morning, and I want you to get it. According to Genesis 9:13, God has a covenant with us. In Genesis 9:13, here's your third revelation. Remember, anything that is a covenant from God or a commandment from God, the enemy wants to what? Yes. He wants to duplicate it to make it look like real, because God loves you and I enough that anytime God makes a covenant, here was the covenant of the rainbow. And whoever else uses it out in the world is a counterfeit. And you and I have to be able to say, that's a covenant from God. One of the most important and many signs God gave during the period of time, a sign by which he indicated to restore what has been lost by Adam and Eve. It was a timeless reminder to bring man beyond judgment into his purpose. And the reason to be restored by all things so that you and I can begin to walk in our purpose. And when somebody says, why do you exist? You say, I have a purpose from God, and I'm walking in that purpose. And if we're honest with ourselves, which I'm hoping you will be, many of us are falling short of why we exist here on earth so that we can continue to walk forward and let God work through us for his glory and his honor. This is why Genesis 12, the call of Abraham, is so crucial. That is why we pray for Jerusalem. That's why we pray for Israel. That's why we pray for the Jewish people, because the 12 tribes of Israel, and again in the beginning of Genesis, will play a big part, because if you've ever read Revelation, that he's going to get 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000, that will find Jesus. And in the end times, they're going to talk about how amazing Jesus Christ is. So if you want to know every tribe, I can tell you what tribe I'm from. I hope you can find out what tribe you're from. It's a spiritual tribe. I am from the tribe of Levi. No inheritance. We Levites take care of the house of God. There is no retirement, there is no inheritance, there is no, all we are is going through this earth, and all we do is take care of the house of God. You may be from the tribe of Judah, you may be from the tribe, another tribe, because you have the gift. The tribe is connected to your gift. I know, I just lost you right there. I did that for a reason, so I can come right back here for a moment, because I want you to know that God is preparing a great nation, and that great nation, listen, are the people who are the bride of Christ in Christ Jesus. Not denomination, not religious people. That's why there's not a sign at our door. You know, we belong to this and this. It's okay if you do. Nothing wrong with it. Everybody's welcome here. When we say everybody's welcome, then we have to also take the good, the bad, and the difference and let them walk through that great thing. So, as I close, and those who are helping me with communion will begin to get ready. You heard me say from the beginning, I'm going to give you three revelations, okay? Remember, God is our architect, okay? And if you put that up there real quick, there's what we call a heavenly blueprint, okay? Not a natural blueprint, not a your gift blueprint, not a flesh blueprint. This is a heavenly blueprint. Those who are helping me with worship will make their way here. And again, God gave you three revelations today. You're the bride of Christ. Say it. You are the bride of Christ. You cannot have a fake or a unnatural covering. The only thing that's going to cover you is the armor of God. So do you put on the armor of God every day? That's the question that you and God have to settle and take care of. And remember, when God makes a covenant, it is a covenant from God. The enemy is going to come and counterfeit it. So the argument is, are you going to stand up for the word of God, or are you going to stand up for what the culture is saying? Just because they're the majority doesn't mean they're right. The word of God is what is right. So if you're here this morning, you say, man, how do I keep those covenants? How do I keep those things in our lives? The blueprint. God has called you to be a builder a visionary leader. You're a leader. If it's just leading your soul, that's a lot of work. If it's leading your home, leading a ministry, you know, leading a business, leading a church, leading anything, this fits it. Because remember, God's timing may not be sooner than you think. God's timing might be sooner than you think. Be ready. And this is what it looks like to be ready. One, stand your watch. Revelation is built on a foundation of biblical knowledge. It cannot be received if you don't have an intimate relationship with God. May God give you a revelation. Receive correction. Because prophecy is always in God's presence with principles. This is why on Wednesday nights we're talking about principles. They never change. Three, write it down. Articulate that revelation. You're building an outcome where leadership is trusted. You become a testimonies of the things of God. Build a team. Without that blueprint and without the best general contractor, you got to get those people around you that will sharpen you. And we're afraid to be sharpened. Build a team. Build with patience. God's never late. He's always on time. But once you get that vision and once God speaks to you about what he's doing, you're going to have the peace and you're going to have the patience. You're going to have the guidance and you're going to have the faith because God doesn't lie. You've got to give him something to work with. Take good, sound advice with people that have an experience that you want to experience. But please remember, when you are in the middle of a test, the teacher's always silent. You go by what the Word of God says until